What's going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal, Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check, and we are officially in WrestleMania week. First of all, I want to come up and say, I was going to do a Raw before WrestleMania review. That didn't happen. What did happen was a episode that is surprising even me with how well it's doing is I fantasy booked the WrestleMania 40 worst case scenarios. So if you go back one pod, you want to check that out. I would really appreciate it. Share it around. I'm not too proud to say, please share my shit if you like it. But we're here today. We are here today to talk about Stand and Deliver, NXT's WrestleMania. And we're going to get to the actual WrestleMania card sometime later on in the week, like I said before, hopefully with some company, but don't have that confirmed just yet. Stand and Deliver, man, looks really, really good. And as tempted as I am to look a couple months in the future to Heatwave, because it's going to be in Toronto, along with Money in the Bank and SmackDown, and I'm going, and that's going to be fucking awesome, and they've already announced that they're bringing in the small Tron to bring in the big crowd. We're doing the small screen flex, as I'm starting to call it on social media. Can't look past Stand and Deliver. I love that Stand and Deliver has become a thing. I know what happened. The first Stand and Deliver was, like, during COVID, and they had to give it a name because it was in the Performance Center and all that kind of thing. We have Stand and Deliver. It's WrestleMania. It's Stand and Deliver season, like WrestleMania season. I really, really do. As much as I miss TakeOver, and I do, and that's a conversation to be had, I think this version of NXT, this is their TakeOver. This is their Super Bowl. This is their World Series. This is their Final Four. This is their Grey Cup. This is their, I don't know, what do soccer people do? But, no, but it makes sense. We're getting back to pairing NXT pay-per-views with proper WWE, or sorry, I should say premium live events with the Simon Miller spirit fingers that you can't see because this is an audio platform. I really think that this is going to be something pretty cool. It's got an appropriate level of silliness in it because it's NXT, which is also kind of awesome. Of course I'm losing my voice because I'm always losing my voice. Why wouldn't I be losing my voice? Let's get into this card and we will get cards on the table. NXT just ended. The go-home show just ended. The brawl between Trick and Mello just ended. And just before that, we got the very last match added to the card, even though we knew it was going to happen. And it's Sean Spears versus Joe Gacy. Now, it's a last-minute thing, so there's no stipulation or anything like that. Weird sort of place for both of these guys to be, because Sean Spears came in, and he was going to kind of do... He's doing like a Kane and John Cena embrace the hate thing with Ridge Holland, and then Ridge Holland apparently retired. Don't know whether that's work or shoot. I haven't looked into it. I kind of don't want to look into it, because, you know, if it is... If it's a shoot, then it's his own business. If it's a work, then I want to be worked. But Sean Spears sort of trying to get Ridge Holland to embrace his dark side, and that's what brought him back to NXT, has kind of left him laying a little bit. Now he's a little bit maniacal, and he's going to manipulate whoever he wants to manipulate, and Joe Gacy's the one guy that he can't manipulate, because Joe Gacy's crazy! Joe Gacy's on the other side of the coin. He's in a weird spot, too, because his character, since the Dyad left and Grizzled Young Veterans went to TNA, and they're actually doing really good in TNA as well. Really happy for them, and we'll talk about the next TNA show as well after WrestleMania weekend is out of the way, because I think it's 2 weeks later. I'll be honest, I have to go through my own schedule to figure this out. I got WrestleMania weekend, and then I got Destiny Wrestling, check it out for Spaz Phoenix bucket list. It's fine. The Clash the following weekend, and then the one after that is TNA. What is it? I think it's No Surrender? No, that's not it. That's not it at all. Rebellion. Maybe it's Rebellion. I don't know. I'm trying to pull it off the top of my head, and I don't have those notes in front of me. But Ava, you know, she's got no surname. She's The Rock's daughter, as What Culture would tell you. She's doing the GM thing now, which I don't think is terrible. I mean, it's not setting the world on fire, but a GM role shouldn't. The Dyad left, so Joe Gacy doesn't have his cult anymore. That's an odd sentence to say. That's a very NXT sentence to say. But he's just crazy and just causing mischief Not really a good guy, not really a bad guy. Everybody kind of doesn't want anything to do with him, and the people that he sets his eyes on are just frustrated by it. So you've got Sean Spears trying really hard to be this unsettling presence while Joe Gacy is annoying him, because Joe Gacy already is this unsettling, annoying presence. I really wish this was like a no-holds-barred or a no-DQ thing, and just let them... It's a plunder brawl. I think they said it's going on the kickoff. Joe Gacy's going to win. Sean Spears is one of those guys. He's not going to lose by losing. He's going to go in there. He's going to be crazy. He's going to beat the shit out of Joe Gacy, and Joe Gacy's going to Foley his way out of it and just throw a dead arm over him at the end and call it a win. Them relegating it to the kickoff is kind of a bummer, but it is a 7-match card, which for NXT recently is huge. So yeah, two crazy guys, one violent crazy, one just crazy. It'll be a lot of fun. It's right up my street. If you guys have been following me for any time whatsoever, you know that kind of thing is right up my street. Sean Spears is somebody that I've seen live, both at NXT house shows back in the day at Maple Leaf Gardens, which was fucking awesome. And I've also seen him, I'm going to say it again, Destiny Wrestling, check it off your Spaz Phoenix bucket list, it's fine. I enjoy Sean Spears. I think when people tried to downplay his return to WWE / return to NXT, I think that was more because of tribalism than what they actually thought of him. And Joe Gacy is somebody that I've only known in WWE, so I don't have anything to compare it to. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll get the crowd up at the very least, and yeah, I don't know, not much else to say about it. It'll be fun. I think Joe Gacy's going to win. We have a trios match for the ladies that are not going for the women's championship. Kind of makes you think that they shouldn't have amalgamated the NXT women's tag team championships, but that's another story for another day as well. Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, and Kalani Jordan taking on JC Jane, Kiana James, and Izzy Dame. A lot of really weird histories here. You got Thea and JC and their feud. You got Fallon Henley and Kiana James, who, you know, fought over the bar because Kiana James was doing a business. Izzy Dame is the latest sort of recruit of Kiana James, which is a nice little, villain sidekick type story. And Kalani Jordan is just awesome, and I wish they would do more with her. But most of this revolves around Thea Hale, JC Jane, the whole Chase U. She came to Chase U, she saved Chase U, they did the calendars, etc., and then she found out that JC Jane was never really her friend, and it's all very high after-school special type stuff. It's a lot of fun. I love Thea Hale, I love Fallon Henley, I love Kalani Jordan. JC Jane went from being the least interesting person, and I say this with all due respect, she went from being the least interesting person in Toxic Attraction to the only heel remnants of that group. She talks about herself as being the attraction now, which I think is a nice touch. Kiana James does the business gimmick, which is a little tacky, but I think she's fantastic in the ring. And Izzy Dame is brand spanking new. Kalani Jordan. I'm sorry, I know a lot of people like Lola Vice. Kalani Jordan should have won the breakout tournament, and that would have turned a lot of things on their head. But my favorite in this match has got to be Thea Hale. She's got, like, the ridiculous spastic energy, no pun intended. And she's the ultimate downtrodden party. Like I say, Fallon Henley and Kiana James had a little bit of a feud, and it sort of tied in with Tiffany Stratton, who's not even there anymore. So there are threads there. The story is Thea Hale. Thea Hale's going to lead her team to victory. And I don't know what else. I don't know where we go from there. Jasmine Nix is probably going to be there as well, because she's JC Jane's new sidekick. Don't know what she's doing. Don't know if she's carrying an injury or not. I thought I saw a picture of her with her arm wrapped up or something recently. But if that's a work, I mean, also CM Punk has a brace on his arm, and he's going to be on commentary at WrestleMania, and they didn't bring CM Punk in just to do commentary. I could go off on a whole tangent about CM Punk's awesome interview with Ariel Helwani, but I won't, because that would be divulging myself a little too much, and it's already late in the day. Thea Hale's team is going to win this. It's going to be a lot of fun. As I said, opposite sides of the scale for the babyface team. Fallon Henley is solid. She should be a champion soon. Thea Hale is driving the story from the emotional storytelling point of view. And as I said, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but I just want to see them keep putting Kalani Jordan in stuff because I think she's fantastic. I think she got the rug pulled out from under her a little bit when they let Dana Brooke go. Because, you know, when WWE lets people go, it's bad. But when other companies do it, it's fine. I'm not going to do it. But, yeah, because she had that whole mentor-student relationship with Dana Brooke before she... And now she's Ash by Elegance in TNA, being managed by the man, George Iceman Menzies, who is an awesome dude, who I got to talk to at the last Destiny show. Check it off your Spaz Phoenix bucket list. It's fine. Moving on. Big meaty men slapping man meat for the NXT North American Championship. Obafemi Dijak and Josh Briggs. Now, Josh Briggs would get a lot more credit right now for what he's doing, breaking out of his tag team, being a singles guy. I think this could be a breakaway story on the same level as like Jey Uso breaking away from the Usos. On an NXT level, don't get crazy. I think a lot of people are refusing to give him that credit because it all started with a pep talk from JBL, and you're not allowed to like JBL, and that's pretty fucked up. Dijak is one for me that I've turned around on. I've told you guys, in the past couple years, there's a couple people that I couldn't have given a shit about, and that I've completely come around on them. The biggest major example is Cody Rhodes. We'll end up talking about Cody Rhodes later this week, I'm sure. But, I mean, when Dominik Dijakovic was having match after match after match after repetitive match with Keith Lee in NXT, no offense to either one of them, by the way, they just ran that match into the ground, I couldn't have given a shit less about Dominik Dijakovic. And then Retribution happened. And that was a thing, wasn't it? And then Dijak came back as this character that he is now, where people from the other side of the line said he was trying to be Kenny Omega because he wore a jacket and glasses, and that was strange. But I like Dijak. I think his like mock Terminator, mock Sin City vibe that he's trying to pull off, Mickey Rourke-esque, from Sin City, let me be clear. And Josh Briggs having this new resurgence as a singles guy breaking away from his tag team. Two guys that I really want to see like hit their stride. But then along comes Obafemi out of nowhere, who's a fucking wrecking ball and is going to destroy both of them. Let's be real for a second. The way he picked up the breakout tournament win and immediately parlayed that into eating friggin', what's his name, Dragon Lee for lunch and taking his North American championship was a comical kind of terrible. I'm not gonna lie. I really like Obafemi. The crowd really likes Obafemi. It is one of those ones where he hasn't been out of the performance center yet into a more general audience, so we don't have that reaction to go on just yet, but like the crowd are chanting along with him when he barely even says anything. And he's a tank and he throws people around. I'm gonna steal the Adam Nicholas line once again. He chucks people around like empty tracksuits, and it's awesome, and it looks so effortless. And the minute he had that belt, he carried himself as a champion. So, Dijak's there. I don't think Dijak loses by losing either way. Josh Briggs, if they decide to give it to him, then cool. That means they're rocket strapping him after leaving the trappings of his former teammates behind. I think that's a really cool story, but I think Obafemi's a tank. And Obafemi is not, he's not a face or a heel. He's just a machine. So it's not like you're looking at the card and saying, oh, if I had too many baby faces win, if I had too many heels win, Obafemi's just a tank. He's not good or bad. He kind of exists outside of that at the moment. But as you look at what I'm doing so far, Joe Gacy is kind of the same way, and I've got him winning. I've got the babyface trio of ladies winning. So I've got two sort of in-betweeners winning and one set of babyfaces winning. Lyra Valkyria is going to lose the title to Roxanne Perez. And here's why. You can have a successful comeback story as a heel. Because as much as a babyface comeback story is celebrated by the crowd. A heel comeback, a successful comeback story is celebrated at the crowd. The biggest, most obnoxious and obvious prime example would be heel Daniel Bryan winning the title and then shouting down Michael Cole's face with the no's. I don't think Roxanne Perez is going to do anything like that. I also think it's kind of cool if we kind of jumpstart Lyra Valkyria, because she's already had some main roster exposure. If you jumpstart Lyra Valkyria to the main roster after WrestleMania, and that's only a hypothetical, by the way, and leave Roxanne Perez there as kind of the gatekeeper of the women's division. Yes, for the past 2 years, we've been saying Roxanne Perez should go up to the main roster. I do believe she should go up to the main roster. If she loses this match at Stand and Deliver and shows up at WrestleMania randomly, it won't make any sense. People will complain, but I won't care because it's Roxanne fucking Perez. If Roxanne Perez came in and, like, fucked over Rhea Ripley or something stupid like that, I would pop. I would eventually come back around to saying, okay, that doesn't make any sense, but I would pop at the time. I really do think you get a successful heel redemption story from Roxanne Perez, and I didn't put that together until I was talking to you nice people just now. So I'm going to say Lyra Valkyria drops her championship. Roxanne Perez picks back up the championship that she never lost. How many wrestling stories go like that with injuries and stuff like that? So I got a tweener. I got another tweener. I got a babyface trio, and I've got a new heel champion. So where do I go with the NXT Tag Team Champions, the Wolf Dogs? Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker, who I am incredibly high on right now, taking on who everybody thought was going to be the OC, including me. The finals of the mini tournament to determine the number one contenders to the NXT Tag Team Championships took place on tonight's NXT, and it was LWO, it was Nathan Frazier and Axiom, and it was Gallows and Anderson, and we all thought it was a foregone conclusion. Why would Gallows and Anderson come down to NXT if not to go for the tag titles, and if not to add a couple more mainstream names to the NXT pay-per-view? But they didn't do that. They went with their homegrown guys, because let it not be forgotten either that Cruz and Del Toro, LWO, although they came from NXT, they are very, very, very much main roster guys as well. So I think it's kind of cool. It's kind of a vote of confidence. It's kind of a, hey, we've got our eyes on these guys. You should have your eyes on them too. That it's Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker versus Nathan Frazier and Axiom. Because you think about it, Bron Breakker just moved up to the main roster, and Baron Corbin is sort of on a long visit from the main roster, if that's a thing. I really hope that Bron Breakker, being on SmackDown, takes Baron Corbin with him and they keep the Wolf Dogs thing going on a bit longer. I don't know necessarily whether that's going to happen or not. I think they want to have Bron Breakker go and Goldberg some people, but again, that leaves Baron Corbin in a rut again. Baron Corbin got cheered in that match with Gable Steveson that nobody liked. So when he's in a singles capacity, I don't know what they do with him. I said it a couple weeks ago when our good friend Jake DeMarco came back and we started up the State of Wrestling, which I hope to be a thing going forward. I think it's kind of ironic that Baron Corbin was an asshole heel, Bron Breakker was an asshole heel. They bonded as a team over being asshole heels and became the biggest babyface team on the brand. I think that's wild. I think how that goes with Nathan Frazier and Axiom, who are more traditional baby faces, obviously power versus speed, that should go without saying. Nathan Frazier and Axiom, I mean, is it time to think about bringing the Cruiserweight Championship back again? I don't know. Those are treacherous waters as far as bringing that up as a conversation, because how many times are we going to bring it back and take it away? I think we've got an underdog story here. I think we've got Frazier and Axiom as new champions. They talked a lot in their post-match preview tonight, or sorry, their post-match promo on NXT tonight about being Supersonic. So it's two speedy guys if they're calling their tag team Supersonic. Yes, it's corny, but it's a very, very wrestling kind of corny, and I'm okay with it. So if Supersonic become the new tag team champions, that's fine, Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin don't lose by losing, because Braun Breaker's already on the main roster, and Baron Corbin can go be an asshole. So what do we have now? We have a tweener. We have a babyface trio. We have a heel new champion. We have babyface new champions. Come to Ilya Dragunov versus Tony D, who's probably going to have stacks. And Luca Crucifino. And The Riz. I'm going to stop doing the voice now. Ilya Dragunov and Tony D'Angelo. I love this match. I do. I love a match that when somebody tells me about it, I don't know what it looks like. Now, famously, on this channel, I applied that to a match many, many, many years ago when they booked, I don't even remember what pay-per-view it was, but it was Ryback and Bray Wyatt. And I said, I like that match because I don't know what it looks like. And it ended up being pretty shit. And I don't know what to say from there. I can't say anything other than I don't know what this match looks like. But super serious grappler, you know, pain enthusiast Ilya Dragunov versus a cartoon character of an Italian-American mafioso mob boss. Like, what do you want me to say about this? I would love it. Because of how NXT is right now and how there is some great wrestling on there, there's a lot of wacky characters. It's almost right that Tony D'Angelo become the Don of NXT, like the King Don of NXT. Anybody that listens to What Culture as much as I do knows that Adam Wilborn will rip his fucking cock off if Tony D wins the championship. Luca Crucifino and Stax can go for the tag titles, and the family can have all the gold, and we can do really bad voices like this. Only if Ilya Dragunov is going to the main roster. Like, the next day, or on the Monday after WrestleMania. Because the rumor about Ilya Dragunov, I mean, all the silliness of NXT aside, is that they see a lot in him, and they want to give him the same type of rocket up his ass that they've given Gunther, and look at what Gunther's done. And if we're going to get, this is going to stray into my preview for WrestleMania just a little bit, but if Ilya Dragunov is the one to take that belt off of Gunther, we know what they did in NXT UK during the pandemic with no fans, and it was still one of the best matches that people talk about from that shitty, shitty time. Losing upwards. I say the same for Lyra Valkyria. I say the same thing for Roxanne Perez if it does end up being her going up. I say it about everybody. Like, every pay-per-view that I've previewed for you guys, or every pay-per-view that I've come up to talk about with you guys, it's every match is at least 50%, especially the title matches, because people in the title matches are at the top of the card, they've been there a while, etc. You can't preview an NXT pay-per-view without taking into account, hey, I wonder if they're going up. Hey, I wonder if they're going up. Hey, I wonder if they're going up. So, Ilya Dragunov, I wonder if he's going up. Tony D winning the title. If he's not, then don't take the title off of him. Because there is a case to be made that let the winner of the next match take on Ilya Dragunov, because they've already both got history with him, etc. And yes, from a wrestling point of view, but Tony D'Angelo sitting as the king, as the Don, ruling over all of NXT as the NXT champion, and then maybe his underlings picking up some gold as well, and maybe The Riz takes on Lyra Valkyria, and they do a golden prophecy a la the Undisputed Era, because we've got a very, very neutered version of the Undisputed Era over on the other side, don't we? Moving on. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I think fun rather than good, I think Tony D'Angelo takes it. But again, people love Ilya Dragunov. People love Tony D'Angelo. They're both tweeners. Tony D'Angelo should not be a babyface. He's a mob boss that is inferred in killing a bunch of people. They killed Two Dimes. I mean, they didn't really kill Two Dimes. They killed his career because he went over with the other guys. But hey, we don't need to talk about that right now. He threatened to throw him off a bridge. He brought him to a warehouse tonight with a bunch of people using power tools and shit. That he said, hey, you know, I want you on Saturday, or else I could let these wolves get to you right now. Tony D'Angelo shouldn't be a babyface, but he is, because it's NXT. It's the most, in a lot of ways, this is the most NXT match there is. Ilya Dragunov is like super, super, super serious to the point of parody, almost. And again, I'll say it one more time before somebody reaches into me and grabs me by the throat in the comment section and says that I'm being repetitive. Love this match. Don't know what it looks like. The main event. And yes, they hyped it up. They hyped it up on NXT as the first NXT TakeOver main event, main evented by two men of color. Awesome. Cool historical moment. We've mentioned it. We've acknowledged it. Can we move on to the great work that these guys have done story-wise, charisma-wise, compatibility-wise, in-ring-wise, everything-wise? They both got themselves over at separate times. Carmelo got himself over and then let himself cool down. Trick Williams is over right now. Their momentum waves are working in just the right way. The story that they've told has been fantastic about the, you know, the star and the sidekick, the Shawn Michaels and Diesel is the expected comparison that we're all going to make. And the match is going to be great. The crowd is going to be hot for it. I don't know. Big part of me says Trick Williams wins because Carmelo Hayes is as good as gone on SmackDown. But again, leaning on the dirt sheets once again, apparently it's already been talked about that they want to bring this feud as a whole onto SmackDown. So do we get to the SmackDown after WrestleMania and have both of these guys brawl out to the ring like they've never stopped? If, I know it's shit to pitch a main event match of a pay-per-view not getting a finish, but if these guys just brawl into the street and brawl down the highway and the pay-per-view goes off the air and they brawl up the ramp on Friday and keep brawling and, you know, Nick Aldis comes out and tries to break up the fight and says, hey, this isn't why I signed both you guys, and then he realizes that he's made his announcement before he's made his announcement. You could do something cool like that if the fans are on board. Obviously, there's going to be a power versus speed thing. Obviously, Carmelo Hayes is better in the ring than Trick Williams, but I also think that that could not matter less in this match. For the same reason, and I'm not comparing the two of them. I am not comparing the two of them at all. This match will not focus on in-ring work as much as pick the worst, whatever you think the worst example of Rock versus Austin is. Again, not saying these guys are Rock and Austin, but Austin was a star, Rock was a star. It doesn't matter that they both did 5 or 6 moves, and a lot of it was flashy, and a lot of it was pandering to the crowd, and a lot of it was just brawling, because that's what Austin could do at the time, and The Rock just did funny facial expressions and slapped you a bunch, and then did a really terrible sharpshooter before hitting the rock bottom. Didn't matter, because they were stars, and stars are fucking stars. It's like I say about Rhea Ripley all the time. I will never say that Rhea Ripley is the best wrestler in that ring, but it doesn't matter. Why? Rhea Ripley, fucking star. This match will probably be the best example of that we get up until the big tag team match on night one of WrestleMania. Carmelo Hayes is going to be awesome. Trick Williams is going to do his simple but very effective power size advantage stuff. Trick Williams wins unless Carmelo screws him on the way out the door of NXT, and that's the reason why it continues on SmackDown or Raw. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's a very deserving, if they're going to talk about the type of history that they talked about tonight, which is important but shouldn't be the focus. I'll say it like that, and you people that think I'm being controversial when I say that can come at me all you want. You want to make the history that you're talking about in the promo that they both had tonight, make it with guys like this that also deserve to be there, and get off it and put the focus back on who they are, not what they are, and let this match be as awesome as it's going to be. I think, the Wells Fargo Center, where this is happening, where SmackDown and Stand and Deliver and Raw are all happening in the Wells Fargo Center, I think the Wells Fargo Center is going to be absolutely on fire for this match. They could just sit in the ring and punch each other, and you want to say that, oh, NXT guys are going to get in front of a bigger crowd and nobody's going to know who they are. Well, they bought a ticket to an NXT show, so they know exactly who these guys are. Now, when it goes to SmackDown, when it goes to Raw, will they be tested on that? Abso-fucking-lutely. But this is the big crowd where they can show off with people that have paid to see them knowing who they are. And I think that that crowd is absolutely going to be on fire. I think it's where the investment is. And I'll leave it with this. People would be invested in Roxanne Perez if she wasn't playing heel right now. I don't think Roxanne Perez as a heel is very convincing. I think it's being very, very souped up with the Amdram of it all. But she's the opposite. She's going to make up for it with what she does in the ring. But here's what I'll say about this. And this is why I love that this is in the main event. And it shows the dichotomy of NXT. Shawn Spears versus Joe Gacy. Is it going to be good? It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Especially if you're somebody like me that likes the crazy characters. That's going to be a lot of fun. Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, Kalani Jordan taking on JC Jane, Kiana James, Izzy Dame with Jasmine Nix in their corner, I'm assuming. It's just multi-person matches. A lot of people that deserve a lot more spotlight than they do all getting to show up and show out at the same time. That's going to be a lot of fun. Obafemi, Dijak, and Josh Briggs. It is the Big E special. It is the big meaty men slapping man meat. And we're going to get a bunch of hard shots. And we're going to get a bunch of opportunities to go oof. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Lyra Valkyria versus Roxanne Perez. I like Lyra Valkyria. You know, some people call her bird person. She's got Tatum Paxley, who I forgot to mention, who's her crazy stalker. So she might get into that mix as well. And you got Roxanne Perez, who everybody loves, who's trying desperately to be heel right now. So that'll be a lot of fun. Bron Breakker, Baron Corbin, Nathan Frazier, and Axiom are all fun characters. That match is going to be a lot of fun. Ilya Dragunov, Tony D'Angelo. As I said, I'm going to say it again. I know you guys are reaching through the comment section to grab me by the throat again for being repetitive. I don't care. I love that match. I don't know what it looks like. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Where the switch gets tricked, or where the switch gets flipped, I should say. Pardon the pun. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams is where it's still going to be fun, but it's going to be the fun and the payoff and the pathos and the catharsis of everybody, because not everybody watches NXT. We know that. Those of us that do watch NXT know how many people don't watch NXT. But if you've been following this for a while, because this has been built for a while, Carmelo Hayes is, you got to remember, Carmelo Hayes came in to NXT. He won the breakout tournament. His second match as an actual member of the roster was against Adam Cole. So Adam Cole was still in NXT at the time, and he eventually brought in Trick Williams. I thought they were going to go for the tag titles eventually. I'm not going to lie. And then they split them off. So that's how long this is going to be the invested match. Everybody else, for every other match, is going to say, this is fun, oh, wasn't that ridiculous, oh, didn't expect that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Everybody laughing and cheering and carrying on and clinking their drinks. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams is where everybody that's been paying attention for the past year, year and a half, 2 years or so, takes a deep seat and lets their investment take over. And I think that that's really awesome that NXT, the little brand that could, that's in like version 3 now, who's full of so much ridiculous stuff, who's full of Bird Person and Dijak who thinks he's Terminator and Kiana James doing a business and Bron Breakker doing his best Steiner impression and Ilya Dragunov liking getting hurt and Tony D, the big silly mob boss. They can still give you what Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes is going to be on Saturday. And I think that that's awesome. And I think that that's where whatever silly stereotype that NXT exists under right now fights out of it a bit. And I think that's fucking awesome. Anyways, I'm going to run this down one more time because I've talked my way all the way around that one. Joe Gacy's beating Shawn Spears. The babyface girls are going to beat the heel girls in the 3-on-3. Obafemi's probably going to retain his championship if it's not taken by Josh Briggs. I'm going out on a limb and saying that Roxanne Perez is going to beat Lyra Valkyria. I'm using logic to tell me that Nathan Frazier and Axiom are going to be your new tag team champions. I really, really want a fun NXT with Tony D'Angelo as champion. And in what I'm predicting to be a fantastic atmospheric main event. You're going to have Trick Williams beating Carmelo Hayes and potentially chasing him out of the territory, as they say. What do you guys think? How's your WrestleMania week going so far? What do you think of Stand and Deliver? Are you an NXT fan? Are you only getting your NXT from listening to me? Because that would be really strange. Are you looking forward to Stand and Deliver? What are your predictions? What are some surprises that you think we could get? I'd love to hear it all down in the comment section below. Hit me with a like as well, if you don't mind. I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation, keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you later, but for right now, I am tagging out. Bye, guys.